We sang the song, "I Want to Be Ready to Walk in Jerusalem Just Like John." A lot of people know that there's problems arising, but as far as they're concerned, it's just going to be another battle, another war. Israel will just get whipped. America will put her in her place. But as I live before God, she'll never put Israel in her place. America has never risen against any nation but what she didn't defeat them. But she'll never defeat Israel. If America defeats Israel and puts Israel in her place, then I'm a false prophet. It ain't a word of truth in me. She'll never do it. No nation under heaven will ever defeat Israel. Israel has been and still is an undefeated nation. If you can show me any place in the history of Israel where she was ever defeated, I'll change my mind. There's not one place where she was ever defeated. She was hindered. She was put into captivity. Kept as high as 70 years, but never defeated. She come out with the victory and overthrowed and overtook and rose to her fame and popularity to by which she was predestined to be. No nation has ever defeated Israel. You can't defeat Israel. There's no way. God will make her pass under the rod, just like He promised. But she'll never be defeated. She's the head of the nation. And she's going to come out with the victory. Amen. All right. I want to read from Habakkuk. If you've got your Bibles. Beginning at the first verse. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and defend, imputing this his power unto his God. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdeth thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he, and maketh men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things, that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle, they catch them in their net, and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their nets and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hail, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied. But gather unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long unto him that letteth him with thick clay? Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booty unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul, for the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establisheth a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters covereth the sea. Here is a wonderful thought. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covereth the sea. If there's anything that I long for in my heart and really desire, it's to see the hour when the earth shall be filled with the glory and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you say, Brother Pike, when shall this be? In the coming of the millennium day, which is not too far from us now, in the coming of the millennium hour, the knowledge of God shall fill all of the heavens, all of the earth, and all of the sea. Now you say, how can it be? This is why that I tell you over and over. I expound to you over and over. Try to get the knowledge of God. Try to understand. Follow after the knowledge of the Lord and try to get the understanding of God. Because the chief thing that God is trying to do is to bring his knowledge into the earth. How many of you understand what I'm saying? To bring God's knowledge into the earth. I want to see a lot of things done for Christ. But Solomon said wisdom is the chief thing. Get wisdom. Call it your kinsman, for it is the chief thing. For by wisdom cometh rubies and riches and diamonds and power and favor with God. And the Bible said that the knowledge of the Lord, I don't mean knowledge like you learn out here in college. I don't mean the twisted tree of science, theory, all of this kind of thing. But I'm speaking of the knowledge of God, speaking of Christ as knowledge, speaking of the mind of Jesus. The knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth. You say, how can the knowledge of the Lord cover the earth? By you and me and those that God has called, going out and telling somebody that will tell 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 somebody. That's the way it'll be done. When we go forth with the knowledge of God, like a chain reaction of atoms, and we testify, all of us begin to tell the glory of God and tell the story of Jesus and speak the knowledge of Christ. After a while, it'll be everywhere. It'll be in the colleges. It'll be in the banks. It'll be in the markets. It'll be in the founders. It'll be in the industries. It'll be in the schools. Everywhere, the knowledge of the Lord. You say, how can the knowledge of the Lord fill all of the heavens? God is going to bring forth a revelation that will unveil the trees and show the knowledge of God in it. That will unveil the stars and show what they were put there for in their signs and seasons and show the knowledge of God in it. The Bible said even the heavens declare His handiwork. God is going to bring forth a revelation that will unveil the sun, unveil the moon, unveil every little blade of grass. Everything that is in the earth will be unveiled, and we'll see that everything is nothing more than God standing there in the form of a need of humanity. God is great. God is exceedingly great. I think of God a lot of times after this fashion. Like a little boy with a bunch of marbles. Some little child that sits down that plays with some putty putting things together, or some of these little old sticks, I can't remember what you call them, but tinker toys, things that you put together, how they take little blocks and put them together. And I think of God like that, that God, who is a great sovereignty, God, who is the eternal fountain, God, the only self-existing one, God, who was before time ever begun, God, who will be here after time has completely become extinct. And I think of God like that. And I think of God making a bunch of atoms, like a bunch of marbles, and just playing with the atoms and making a man out of some atoms and making a tree out of some atoms and making something else out of some atoms. One great big God that took billions upon billions upon billions of atoms and just begin to put them together and make him something out of them. Just make it like a bunch of toys, you know, just everything his heart could wish for, he made it. And then made a man down there, put him down there to rule over it, and then started a process from the fall of the garden to get on the inside of mankind and to start converting mankind and revealing to mankind and let mankind feel around and examine and take him a little telescopic view of the different things that God had made, and man began to develop the mind and knowledge of God. Is that right? I look at him as God putting something on the inside of man until he wanted to examine everything, till he could break it down and find out the constitution of it. And God, the invisible God, God who is a spirit, God whom he can't see, this God allowing man to do it, that man could eventually come to the infinite, searching and seeking and defining and looking in every way, breaking things down gradually through college means and studies and every other way, breaking things down a little bit at a time until finally he gets right down to the very enzymes of the body. Until he gets right down to the very nitty-gritty of the matter, as they use the terms in the world. Until he gets right down to the very core of the atoms. Until he comes down to where he can't go any farther. God, let man break it down a little bit at a time. that he might approach God gradually, knowing that God is the great light under which no man can approach, which no man can come to, and knowing that if God suddenly burst forth on man with his greatness, that man would completely be disintegrated. But God in his greatness, let man study, let man search, giving him hundreds of years to break his creation down, to develop the same mind that composed it and put it together. I think of man as being put in a primitive state back then. Didn't understand anything and just began to fill around. Rub a few rocks together and found out he could get a spark. Found an ear of corn growing wild out in the field. In that God had planted all the seeds of the earth. And finally learned it was good for food and began to cultivate it and work with it. And found it better to tie a stone on the end of a stick, sharpen it up a little bit and peck it off a little bit. That way he could kill animals that was good to eat. Man working from a primitive frame of mind, gradually comprehending and searching and discovering, like the man that discovered the electricity, how that God has gradually let man do this to break down man and to break down the creation of God to where man could understand or develop the very same mind that God has. To me, I think it's magnificent. Allowing Satan, the one that had been acquainted with the higher plane of living, to come down into a human being called a man. And God, knowing that the sons of God were predestined to a full end, to be complete in Jesus Christ, allowed Satan to get into a man, the nearest thing to a son of God, and cause that man to start a college, cause that man to start some great anti-type government out here. Cause that man to have a hunger to establish a kingdom and to establish the ways of his own doings, trying to get back to the things of God, trying to get back into the Spirit, trying to get back into the world of power. Satan on the inside of man, pulling at him, tugging at him, and a slow, gradual development. And I could just picture God as he looked over the whole thing and said, now this will take about 7,000 years, more or less, whichever way I want to set it, I'll move it up a little, back a little. 7,000 years will give man plenty of time to break everything down and get acquainted with everything and know everything. And after that, I'll just flip the page of time and that'll take care of it. God setting the whole stage, the whole scene of action, everything set for God to come forth and just do just what he wanted to. After everything was constituted, turn man loose with it and let man just unravel. And now man has unraveled since the beginning of time until he has come over to the end of time. He's come over to the end of the way and he can't unravel anymore. He can't go any farther. So then God's going to let his government go down the drain. God's going to change the government. God's going to put him under a rulership. At last, he's come to his master. He searched and he sought and he looked until he's come to his master, which is the Antichrist, and the great brilliancy of an Antichrist, of a Superman, will rise up and he'll head up in that great super understanding of the great Antichrist. As man searches and searches and searches until finally he'll come to that great place of knowledge and come to that great super place until he'll find his headship. Like the tower here in Atlanta, Georgia, I see something in that thing and that being lifted up like that. I see something there and I know that it's got to be a religious thing, and I know that Billy Graham has got to be the key man of it. And I know that Atlanta, Georgia is going to be the key move as far as a city. It's going to be a key thing in the Protestant realm. And I know that the government is switching over. And I know this Antichrist thing is going to spring out of Atlanta. And I know that God at the same time has got something for the people, that God's people can come together. Just exactly like CB's dream was, that when they spring up, Kissinger, the same one that come to Atlanta, Georgia,
Secretary of State, the same one that asked permission to have his conferences in the building of Atlanta, Georgia, after we predicted it would be like that, the same one that came there, now they're building a conference building, that same Kissinger coming to Atlanta, Georgia, having the men from around the nation meet there, not in Washington, but over here. Why? Why didn't he go to Washington? You know why he didn't go to Washington? Because Kissinger's the type of fellow that don't want anybody to be over him. He wants to be the preeminence, the chief star, the chief, the main player of the whole thing. That's exactly why he didn't go to Washington. Knowing that the president was the authority to be praised over him, he sought to pull it away from the president and pull it over to a place to where there wouldn't be any preeminence except Secretary Kissinger. That's why he did it. It's the same devilish spirit that's always been in the church. It's the same way. If God raises up a pastor, there'll always be somebody, always be a man that will seek to pull it off somewhere else, in something else, to do away with the leadership of that man that God raises up. It's always been that way. It always will be that way. Satan whispering in Eve's ear, don't listen to Adam, don't listen to your husband, don't listen to God, just do what I tell you. Kissinger came to Atlanta, Georgia, because that made him the chief star of the show. That's why he came over there. Now, that same Kissinger, going to Israel, having a dispute, coming to Atlanta, having his conferences with the nations, finding favor with the nations, going from Atlanta and then going to Israel and having a dispute with Israel, the same Kissinger that's causing the trouble over here one day and over there another day. Somebody said he's a great peacemaker. Kissinger's a great troublemaker. He's no peacemaker. Kissinger is the power. The devil's got a hold of Kissinger, and he's the man that's causing the problem. The Bible said they'll cry peace when there's no peace to the wicked. They'll say peace, and then sudden destruction shall come upon them. I read in the paper today where they praised him as a great peacemaker. Kissinger's not a peacemaker. Kissinger's a troublemaker. We had peace with Israel till he went over there messing around. When he got over there and started making his smart remarks, now Israel has risen up and told him to get back to his country. Somebody said, well, what's that got to do with it, Brother Pike? That's got a lot to do with it. They'll judge America by Kissinger. You better believe that Israel is going to look at America as being just exactly what she affords in her dignitaries and her leadership. Whatever we allow to reign in leadership, that's just exactly what we are. If this church allows a devil to get up here and speak instead of a minister of God, then it's a church full of devils. But if it believes in the Word and it won't have anybody up here but those that speak in the Word, then it's got to be the move of God. So then, Kissinger, Israel knows that we've got Kissinger in leadership. They know that he's Secretary of State. And they know that we've got to stand behind Kissinger for him to be in that kind of position. Now, withdrawing in his spirit, finding fault with Israel, he'll withdraw to the flattery of the other nations. And the Bible said Antichrist would come in with flattery. And that's exactly what Kissinger's done. Peace, peace, peace. Flattery, flattery, flattery. When the Bible said there's no peace to the wicked, there's no peace to the wicked. Kissinger will never bring peace to the wicked. Nobody will never bring peace to the wicked. Israel can't bring peace to the wicked. No man can ever bring peace to the wicked. There is no peace to the wicked. The Bible said the wicked is ever like the troubled mires from the troubled waters of the sea, casting up its mire upon the bank. And in that day, no man shall save them, no philosopher shall save them, no minister shall save them, no preacher shall save them, no smart fellow shall save them. In that day, nobody can save them, said, because their cause is gone to the place to where there's no remedy for it. America has no remedy for what she's done. She's got to the place to where there's no remedy. When Israel got out of control, God sent a prophet, and the prophet walked through the land, and the prophet said, thus saith the Lord, there is no remedy for you, Israel. And Israel went down in Babylon and stayed for 70 years. And today I still say, as the prophet of old, thus saith the Lord, America, there is no remedy for you. There is no remedy for your cause. Because you sinned against God and lifted yourself up against the ministers of Christ and went the way that you wanted to and leaned upon the presidents and leaned upon the arm of flesh and trusted in the power of warfare and the power of your own understanding and shunned God. Because you've shunned Him, because you've turned away from Him, there is no remedy for America. God is going to bring the power of destruction upon America. The thing is laying at the door. Nuclear powers, nuclear weapons are beginning to be put in process again. Contracts are beginning to go out for the making of nuclear powers and nuclear weapons. People are stirred up. Folks, I know the world doesn't know that we're at the end. The world is still trusting in its integrity, in the man-made things of the world. It's still trusting in the arm of flesh, in the power of its own ingenuity. But I want you to know that we are at the end of the way. They don't know it. They don't know it. They don't know it. But the Bible said you're not children of darkness, but children of light. That they should not take you unaware. It shouldn't come upon you unaware. We're down at the end of the trail. Right down at the end of the way. We're down at the end of the trail. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, Brother Branham said that everything is going to blow up in 77. The people know about it. Well, you better believe that they think Brother Branham was some stupid fellow. They wouldn't give two minutes to what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham stood up and said that. The world cares nothing about that. The world don't believe that. The world just thinks he was some kind of wild fellow like Noah was. He was some fellow like Noah was. But I'm glad that with the going out of this government, I'm glad it's gone. Somebody said, Brother Pike, how do you feel about it? I feel real good about it. Hallelujah. I've been waiting for a long time. Brother Gerald sings that song, been wading through deep waters trying to get home. I'm glad that that government's gone out. I'm glad that it's over. I made a statement, you better believe that we don't have time for another 200-year span of government. We don't have time for another government to come in and last 200 years. It's going to be a short-lived government. Going to be an antichrist government that's coming in. And it's just going to be a few years of the thing. And then God's going to tear this place all to pieces. Something is coming up and it's antichrist. They're going to elect in antichrist. And the vision that God gave me in that vision, I heard the voice when the voice said, America has cast her vote for Satan. And I believe that that's exactly what she's done through her desires, her ambitions, her filth, and through the lewdness of her flesh. She has cast her desire and her vote for a satanic leader and for the powers of the devil. And I believe when the voice said that she's cast her vote for Satan, that what it meant was the coming of the Antichrist. That's what I believe. I believe it meant that she'd cast her vote for the Antichrist. When it said she's cast her vote for Satan, why would God say America has cast her vote for Satan? Isn't it true that America had been in the hands of Satan for years? So then it must mean some great leader coming in. Like the tower I saw where they lifted Billy Graham up. Great leaders coming in. Things beginning to take place. But I'm glad that at the same time that Herod is trying to kill out the man-child, that there's something going on in heaven. The Bible said there was war in heaven. I'm up here on a spiritual realm and I see a war up here. And I see a war far greater than the conflict that was over yonder in Korea. I see a battle far greater than the conflict of the men that I saw battling against each other as Betty and I sat in Parliament in Washington, D.C. I see something going on that those men don't see. Brother Charlie's vision was about Batman and Superman fighting in the heavens. The war is on. The battle is on. There is a battle in the heavens. The angel told Daniel, said, Daniel, I go to fight against the prince of Persia. Satan being the prince of the powers of the air. In every country, in every place, Satan is releasing his powers and his dignitaries and his angels that they might stir up trouble and stir up problems, just like they stir up problems here in this little area that we're in right here. Trying with tornadoes to tear us down. Trying with conflict of the brethren to tear us down. Trying with gossipers. Trying with everything. Trying among the own brethren to try to tear down everything that we're doing. But the old ship of Zion, she's weathered all the storms. Hallelujah. The great and mighty reason is she's safe within his arms. Hallelujah. There's no way to get rid of it. There's no way to get rid of it. They used to have the old ship called Ironside, and the old cannonballs could ring out against it. But the captain of the ship said in the midst of the battle when the heat was on and they thought they had defeated us, said, well, we've just begun to fight. Hallelujah. Christians is just now beginning to fight. They're just now taking their post of duty and just now coming to the forefront. Brother, we've just begun to fight. Hallelujah. Jesus said we'd rise and take the kingdom. Not just for a day, but to possess it forever and ever. Hallelujah. Like the man that spoke to Brother Charlie over the phone. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, do you actually believe that God told the man over in Virginia who seemed to be a real man of God? Do you believe that God told him he was to forerun this message? I say, yes. Then you say, well, do you believe that God told the man over in Mississippi also that he was to forerun this message? Yes. And some of the others that said God told them? Yes. I believe God is raising up a body, a membership, a people that will forerun this message all around the nation. I believe that. Amen. Some may be out more outstanding than others, but all of them will forerun the message. I believe that the coming of the Lord is at hand. And I believe that the knowledge of the Lord is going to fill the heavens, the earth, and the sea. And I believe that that fulfillment is going to be the unveiling of everything, turning it into a testimony for Jesus Christ. I believe it's the coming of the millennium. That is to say that the earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. How many believe that? Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And if it's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, that means that the sons of God have something to do. Why is the earth waiting for the manifestation of the sons? Somebody tell me why. You know why? Because they'll correct the disorder of the government. They'll correct the disorder of the earth. They'll correct the disorder of the elements. You say, where do you get that? Where do you get that, Brother Pine? I get that when that Son of God stood out there on that little boat and he looked up there and he said, peace. Looked down the waves and said, be still. And he took control over everything. He commanded peace to the elements. Commanded the waves to stand still at his command. Oh, Brother Joshua, when he looked at the sun and the moon and commanded them to stand still for the battle, I said the sons of God are going to straighten the situation out. Satan is the prince of the powers of the air, but the sons of God have power over him. Amen. They'll bind him. For the Bible said, I've given it into their hands to bind those princes at their will. Hallelujah. When you look at a devil and you say, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And you believe it, something takes place. People prayed here the other night. Somebody asked for a healing cloth, a prayer cloth. We prayed over it, sent it to them, and they said the man that got it had a spot on his brain, the boy. The x-rays, the doctors had already showed it was a bad spot on the brain. They were really worried about it. But the people here prayed. They got together to pray. They prayed over the prayer cloth. We got together and prayed, and I said, I felt God do it. And some of them said they felt God do it. We agreed together that God had done it. We got a telephone call, and they said, Brother Pike said, God done it. Said they went back to the doctor and said the spot was moved off of the brain, and everything's fine. And that woman's faith is just bubbling over. She just believes God can do anything. So just get them to pray. That's all she wants. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Your faith spoken of throughout the world. I feel good, 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 don't you? Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me. Now, it wouldn't be any trouble to preach all night. I feel the preacher here. Wouldn't be no trouble to preach all night. But you know, I feel that this year, coming 76, I feel in 76 that that'll do the job. I really believe in my heart that 76 will bundle up everything and that'll do the job. That'll be the end of it right there. So, if this is 75 and we're moving on toward 76 now, then it would pay us to wake, arouse ourselves, to get up, to move, and to mean business for God. Now, I've tried every year. I said, Lord, I'm going to do more this year than I ever done for you in my life. And I've tried to double up, and He's blessed me. My cup's run over. But I hope I can triple this year what I've done for God in the past. I hope it together. I hope and pray for over 20 years. I've tried to deny myself and follow God and to do what the Lord wanted me to do. And I hope this year that I can do more than I ever done in my life. Time is running out. Last night, the angel of God came in and visited me. I'm not surprised at Brother Leon being out in the field and calling and saying what he said, because last night, talking to the Lord, the angel of God came into my room and I felt it coming out, and he began to talk with me, and we sang that song, Oh, How Sweet. Oh, how sweet. It's one thing to feel the flow of the Spirit on you, to feel the blessings of God on you. When you pray, it's another thing to have Him to walk into the room where you are and begin to commune with you. The wonderful, wonderful blessings of God. The trouble with some of you is you reason too much. I felt somebody try to just faintly reason out what I just said, you know. Just can't really believe it. But isn't it true anyhow? Isn't it true anyhow? Hallelujah. He talks with me. He walks with me. He tells me I am His own. Hallelujah. I like that, don't you? Let's sing that little chorus. For He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own.